Hey folks, welcome to the Field and Garden Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Mason Ziegler, and y'all, I was a home gardener that fell in love with a cutting garden and fledged into a flower farmer, and it just kind of warped from there. I went on to become kind of a serial entrepreneur, launched an online garden store selling the stuff that I sell, wrote a couple of books, and here I am sharing my experiences with you that I hope will encourage, inspire, and help you to grow great flowers no matter where you're coming from. So today I want to talk about the untold gifts of a cutting garden. And for me, this all really started, y'all, back when I married this hot biker dude, right? And that's another great story we'll have to talk about on a different day. But he came with this great homestead, home place, I guess I want to call it. He lived in his grandparents' homestead. And at the same time, I started, I kind of discovered the joy of a cutting garden through my grandma. My grandmother, during the time that I was dating Steve and then we were going to get married, right after we got married, my grandmother had a massive stroke. And bless her heart, she was paralyzed. And she lived 7 more years after that stroke that made her be bedridden. And so she lived in a nursing home. And our family was there every day. And my day was on Tuesdays. And for anybody that's ever had a family member or somebody you love in a home where other people are taking care of them, there's never enough of those people to go around, no matter how hard they try, right? But it is really, it's a really difficult, how do I say it? It was really hard for me to go and make my visit. So, I mean, we would typically go in the morning and you would try to hang out there at least until after lunch to help them eat, just to be there with them and to take care of stuff for them, right? And I was also a young adult back then. And I think as you age, I'm like barking up the tree of 60 right now. But as you age, these types of things that you want to do for others doesn't get easier. You just figure out how to do it better. Back in my young days, it was, I'll be really honest, it was really hard for me to go. And Tuesday was my day off from, I worked back then at Denby Animal Hospital, and that was my day off. And so it was hard. It was hard to give up my day off, first off. Secondly, because I was working a full-time job. Secondly, it just was not a fun place to go visit. You know, I mean, people in general aren't happy. It's kind of up to you to create that whole situation. So Tuesdays were my days to go see my grandma. That was my dad's mom. And so after several visits, and it was just really hard. It's like, what do you do while you're there? You can't read to them but so much. I mean, you take care of all of what they want you to do, and then you're faced with like 3 hours of you don't want to watch TV. And so that was about the same time that Steve and I, when we got married, I had a home and Stevie had a home. He had this home here where we live now that was his grandparents. He lived here many years as a single guy. Y'all, he has a 1968 shovelhead chopper Harley Davidson that was literally built in the living room of the house that I live in right now. Looks a little different now if y'all are wondering. But when we got married, he moved into my home, which was about 11 miles from this house. And my brother and my dad, who were both, my brother still is, a carpenter, contractor, builder. My dad was a fine woodworker. I mean, he built boats. He built fine furniture. He was an amazing craftsman. He did not do that as his living. My brother does. My dad and my brother went to work on this bungalow cottage that was Steve's grandparents and that he lived in as a single guy for many years. The place was gutted, and then they went to work putting it back together, which took about 18 months. During that time is when I discovered flower farming. I was kind of this novice gardener. As I saw the potential of this place, I read the book, The Flower Farmer by Lynn Baczynski, as I know so many of you guys have done. And one thing just led to another. So I already had leaped into growing a big vegetable garden here. So I planted a row of zinnias. And what made me think about this, sharing this story, is this week on social media, it's like the week of the zinnia. I'm sharing all kinds of zinnia information that I will be putting together in a blog. So you'll be able to find that over on my field and garden blog as well. It made me really start thinking that, you know, I really owe my whole success out of the gate to, as a novice gardener, move on to flower farmer, to zinnias, y'all. Because they're just, when you have the right conditions, the main thing being full sun, which I never had before I came to this property, they really helped to just usher me in to this success story that I get to share with you guys. So during this time of us having this house rebuilt from the inside out, I planted a row of zinnias in our vegetable patch. I mean, we were growing big corn, big tomatoes, big beans, squash, you know, the classic big home vegetable garden. Steve's family were historically big food preservers, canning, freezing, all of those things. So that was already here and functioning. So I came along and threw in a row of zinnias. And when they started blooming, I cut a few. And then, much to my surprise, they grew right back. I mean, like, it was incredible to me how just a few days later, there were more blooms to be cut. So that's what began my story of cutting a few of those flowers and carrying them to my grandma on Tuesdays at her home or at the nursing home. And the story that still chokes me up at times, but I will try to tell it here. The first day that I went to the nursing home. So first off, you have to know I knew nothing about cut flowers back then. I had not taken the plunge yet, y'all, right? So I literally cut a handful of zinnias from this little 10-foot row in my vegetable garden. And I think I put them in water. They weren't stripped properly. But I can remember walking in the front door of that nursing home. And you have to know that my grandma's room was all the way at the end of, I'm going to guess and say, a 200-foot walkway. So I had to walk past a lot of rooms and a lot of dining rooms and a lot of sitting rooms. And keep in mind that I had been walking to her room by this point, probably I'd done it 6 or 7 times, you know, for a couple months on each Tuesday. And on this day, y'all, I'm just thinking back to it. So I walked in, you know, it's sliding doors on the front where you step on it and it automatically opens. And there was always people sitting out front, sitting inside in the lobby. And I mean, there was just people always sitting in different areas. I couldn't hardly get out of the lobby, y'all, without people commenting to me. Oh, look at those flowers. Look at those beautiful flowers. I mean, I could have stopped and engaged every single person, all residents, as well as the employees. But perhaps the most memorable for me was about halfway down to Grandma's room was on the left was a dining hall where it was obvious to me there was several people in there that were just totally uncommunicative, if that's a word. They didn't seem to interact with anybody. They were sitting in wheelchairs, you know, the classic, kind of slumped over, asleep sometimes, sometimes not. as I finally got from the entrance to that hallway room, instantly one of the old men who I had seen for several weeks just not even look at me. You know, there was no light in his eye. When he saw those zinnias, he instantly started speaking, and he said, "My mother grew zinnias just like that." And that started this whole conversation. And the aides and the nurses were in amazement. They said that he doesn't talk. And those flowers touched him in such a way and brought a memory back. Thus, y'all, the short of this long story was, that was the beginning of my cutting garden relationship. Then I started taking flowers each week, enough flowers that I could take little mason jars and put flowers on all these different dining room tables. And that's when I began to experience how many zinnias, but there are other flowers also that behave just like zinnias, how they regrow and how there's just a constant supply, and how the more you cut, the more they come. And I discovered this amazing love, an untold gift of this cutting garden. And that's what really plunged me into, and then during that same time is where I saw the advertisement for Lynn's book, and I started, got the book, and then y'all, I was like a dog after a bone, right? I mean, and that was at the end of the summer, and the rest of that story I've told in Vegetables Love Flowers and Cool Flowers, both my books that you can find on my website or in bookstores anywhere. And so what I wanted to share with you today is just some of these stories of about what having a cutting garden is about. Have you ever stepped outside of your back door to gather up a handful of fresh cut flowers? It's totally doable, y'all. It's totally and completely doable. And I think that the myth that needs to be squashed first is that, in fact, that little 10-foot row of zinnias that very first year supplied tons of flowers each week, week after week after week. And that's what fueled that. I mean, I'm thinking back now, y'all, it's like all the dots are being connected for me as I'm sharing this story with you. That's what set me on fire to find other flowers, to be able to create a little variety. And that's what I did. And that's what is at the foundation of thegardenersworkshop.com. I mean, everything that you'll find there is all about growing these simple cutting gardens that just are, when you treat them like a cutting garden, are repeat bloomers, easy growers, and just make fabulous little bunches of cut flowers. So the home cutting garden, the myth that I wanted to really bust wide open for you here right out of the gate is that the smaller the cutting garden, the more success you're going to have. And why is that? It's because you're going to cut it even harder because you don't have so much of it. Because the lifeline of a cutting garden is for it to be repetitively harvested, and harvested often and harder than what you think you should. That's what stimulates more fresh growth. And the home cutting garden, we have seed collections that are based on this. My book, Vegetables Love Flowers, has diagrams about this. Is like a little cutting garden that's no bigger than a 3 foot wide by 10 foot long, y'all. That's like the size of a small picnic table. And to have a nice little variety of cutting garden flowers there. And I give you recommendations. My favorite go-to are the lemon basil, which makes the bouquets smell as good as they look. The zinnias, the mixed Benares Giants, the lime green Benares. I love to have the little Oklahoma zinnias, which are the tiny ones, which just make great variety. Then the three others that are just kind of like the icing on the cake are, of course, some sunflowers, some coxcomb, and some celosia plumes. And all of those are just fabulous, perfect little cutting garden flowers. Because imagine this, stepping out your back door on a Saturday morning with your shears on your hip and your pouch, a little container of water, maybe even a cup of coffee, to go over and first sit a few minutes with your little cutting garden to enjoy it. Because here's the thing about a cutting garden, y'all. You do not want it where you can enjoy it from inside your house. Are you surprised by this? Because if you can enjoy looking at it from inside your house, you'll never cut it like you should. You won't harvest it as you should because you'll be enjoying it from inside. This is a garden that needs to be enjoyed in a vase in your house, or by sharing it with a gift to a friend. So friends, walking out the back door, balancing a cup of coffee, your little container. We love our little flower caddies that you can just walk out to your garden and sit with it for a few minutes. Enjoy the gorgeous blooms that you're about to cut, every single one of them that are ready. And then you're going to make a big old handful of mixed flowers, whether you're taking it into your kitchen table or you're sharing it with a friend. Because here's one really unlikely thing that people don't realize. You're going to get so many flowers, y'all, that you're going to have enough for you and to share with a friend. On top of that, these flowers that you grow in your own backyard last so much longer than the flowers that you perhaps pick up at the store, unless, of course, they're locally grown, because they're fresher and they have never been out of water. So cutting that big old handful of flowers, and then you'll be able to enjoy them in your kitchen, or better yet, share them with your friend, or church flowers each week. I mean, share them with a neighbor, maybe with an absolute stranger. Y'all are not going to believe what flowers do to people, because I'm going to share in my next story about gifting what flowers that you have grown and tend to do for someone that you share them with. Because people love flowers, first off. We know that out of the gate, right? But flowers that you have grown from seed, cared for, nurtured, that are fragrant, that are fresh and long-lasting, are going to take their breath away, and they're going to do it day after day as they enjoy that bouquet. It's like nothing else, y'all. So I want to share another story that happened for Suzanne and I. This was back probably when I was about 10 or 12 years into flower farming. I started in 1998. So this was, you know, probably like 2010 or so. Part of the way that we sell our flowers is through a bouquet subscription service. That's where people buy multiple weeks at one time, and we drop them off on their front porch, either into a bucket, or for a business, we walk in and hand it to the receptionist. And so kind of when we were really ramping up that part of our business, we actually had, like four friends all at the same time that were going through cancer treatment or major illnesses. And they all just happened to live right in our delivery area. So Suzanne and I decided that, because this is one thing you'll learn about whether you're a home gardener or a flower farmer, we always had extra flowers. I mean, you can always go out and cut a few more. We knew that we had enough flowers to do this. So we decided that on that bouquet subscription drop-off, that we were going to start dropping off a little bouquet in a bucket on the front porch of our unsuspecting friends that were going through this bad time of these medical issues. And so I bought some buckets from the dollar store or somewhere like that, buckets. And we just put a little note on the bouquet that said something. I can't quite remember exactly what it said. It said, "A bucket of blooms for you, full of love and hugs," or something like that. "Put your bucket out each Monday and we'll refill it with more." And so I just dropped it off. I mean, we don't knock on the door or anything. We just put the buckets on the porch to be discovered. And of course, you know, Suzanne and I felt like we were more blessed than the gift recipients, the notes and phone calls that we got from our friends that were facing these major life challenges was just so heartwarming, y'all. And the one that I wanted to share with you was my friend Pauline. Pauline was from England, and I worked with her at Denby Animal Hospital, and she's in fact the one that pushed me to ask Steve out on our first date. Yep, y'all, I asked him out on our first date. I was a little afraid to, being the biker dude that he was, but anyway, and he was a hot one, y'all. Anyway, Pauline was fighting really serious lung cancer, and so, you know, she would call me each week after the drop-off, and she would share with me how she would sit. I mean, she was in pretty bad shape, how she would sit and gaze at that bouquet and just think about me out in the garden, and how she just couldn't believe that I grew them and how beautiful they were and just how much it meant to her. And then, and we lost Pauline, you know, a few months after that, and her family shared it with me at her service, just how much that meant to her. And that is just another of the untold gifts. There is no end of people that need that kind of lift in their life, y'all. No end. And let's just move on before I get a little too touched by that story. This is even true, gang, if you're a flower farmer. One of the funnest things for me, all those years, I mean, I spent, golly day, y'all, 20 years delivering our orders of commercial flowers to our customers. I mean, I'm the one that did it. And I absolutely adored it. And I went, because of what would often happen at many of the flower shops, that's what kept me doing it. And so what I want to point out first is that these kind of fun, happy behaviors that I saw out of my commercial customers was still happening 20 years in as it was in the beginning. So one of the things that I just kind of did by virtue of the way it happened on the way that I sell my flowers to my commercial customers, we sell everything before it leaves the farm. I don't do any cold calling. We would sell everything, which is something I go in deep over there when in flower farming school, just share how much easier it was for me to sell my flowers this way. So when I delivered my flowers, because of the way that I sold them, and that meant that my first call of the day, my first fax, then follow-up call, was always also going to be the person that I delivered to first, because oftentimes that first customer would buy all of certain crops, which meant the rest of my customers never knew that I even grew that crop because it was never on their list. So I really had to deliver my flowers in the order that I actually sold them, because this is what would happen when I would pull up to their shops or their places where they're doing their studio business. They would run out, y'all, to look in my van. They were like children to a birthday party. They loved being in the presence of all those flowers. I know they were coming out to see what other people were getting to. I know that that was part of it. And that's why I had to ensure there was nothing in that truck that hadn't been available to them. Their excitement over the flowers, being able to see so many flowers, not only made my day and made their day, it also fueled them for next week when I called them. Because there may have been something in that truck they didn't order. It was on the list, but they decided not to get it. But perhaps next week they're going to be getting it now. The joy of when I pulled in to those shops and they would come out to my truck just fueled me as well. It also made me make sure that I always kept in line with the order that I went in to, you know? But here's the other thing, the other side of flower farming that people are sometimes surprised about with me is that, first off, I have no interest or desire to arrange flowers. I sell to some of the top flower arrangers. I mean, just such talented, gifted people. And I've had so many offers of, oh, I would love to teach you how to flower arrange. I have no interest. My love of the cutting garden, yes, I'll usually have a handful of something sitting on my kitchen table. Most often it's zinnias or maybe coxcomb or sunnies. It's usually straight bunches. I don't like the, and I think this is part of my dyslexia, y'all. I don't like mixed bouquets as much, or I don't enjoy them as much. I like the soothing calmness of either a solid color or all of the same flower. But here's where I get my great gift from my, you know, and my farm is nothing but a big cutting garden. For those of you that maybe haven't ever visited here during those times that we've been able to open our farm or read about, my farm is less than 3 acres. I'm in the middle of the city. I only have an acre and a half cutting garden, which is really small when you compare us to big growers. But we produce 10 to 15,000 stems of flowers a week from this cutting garden when we were in our high production years. And I will share with you that while I can enjoy that bouquet or that handful on my kitchen table or on my bar, and I can certainly take in the schemes of those bucket after bucket after bucket of harvested flowers, but I will tell you the sweetest gift for me of my cutting garden, no matter how big or small it is to stand and gaze at it while it's still in the garden. Whether that's the stage in like we're in right now, we're coming on the end of February and we're planting our second round of cool flowers, which are cool season hardy annuals. So we have beds of little teeny plants, line after line after line. Then we have our fall planted cool flowers that are starting to, you know, put on vegetation. So we have line after line of bigger flowers. And before long, we're going to have buds on beds. Then we're going to have blooms on beds. I can tell you that I can sit and gaze at this garden for hours. And that's often what I do in the evening. Steve and I will, you know, sometimes it's so funny that many of you and I will share. I don't often share a lot of personal information, but my husband, Steve, has a walking disorder, which is a progressive disease. And so he can't walk around the farm anymore. He's always on a lawnmower or on a golf cart. It's just too far for him. He does still walk, but he doesn't do a lot of long stretch walking. And so oftentimes he and I will either, one of us will be on the golf cart, one of us will be on a mower. We'll sit together where I've been out working and he'll come out and we'll sit and garden gaze together. And it's just such a really awesome gift of a cutting garden. So I enjoy the gifts of my garden while the flowers are still in the garden, whether they're little plants just budding up or blooming. I mean, how many images have I shared of zinnias and coxcomb, which are one of the few flowers that actually are fully developed before we harvest them. So they are, that's why you see so many images of those. Many of the other cut flowers that we harvest, you cut them before they're developed to preserve the blooms. But you can't do that with coxcomb and zinnias because they stop developing the minute you cut them. Y'all, a cutting garden is so incredibly interesting. And there are so many gifts. The depths of the gifts are unexplored. I mean, the gifts that I shared with you today from people that haven't spoken for months or even years speaking, it's the same effect that dogs and animals and cats have when they're taken to nursing homes and facilities where people just have no interaction with other people. But you put a golden retriever nose up against them and they light up. Flowers do the same thing, and particularly zinnias, which are old-fashioned, oftentimes a memory from their childhood. And the gifting of flowers is just, anyway, I guess we're probably going to have to talk about this more. I'm thinking of so many lovely stories to share about the joy of a cutting garden. And y'all, so we have all, if you want to grow a cutting garden, I'm here for you. I would love for you to connect with me on Instagram and Facebook. You can find the links to my pages on our website, thegardenersworkshop.com, down at the bottom of each page. I do an Instagram live every Wednesday at 11:30. It's called Ask a Flower Farmer. For about 30 minutes, the early birds get their questions answered. On Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, all this is Eastern Standard Time, I do the Gardener's Workshop Live, which is me here on the farm sharing what's going on. Sometimes I show you how to do something, share latest breaking news, and that's over on my Facebook page, and you can always go back and watch the previous episodes there. And so you can bring me your questions. I'd love to connect with you. DM me on Instagram, and I do my best to answer all your questions. We offer all the seed collections, my books, lots of free videos. Y'all, there is just so many resources I would love to help you with. And our online garden store stocks the seeds, all the seeds and tools and supplies you need to do it with, as well as my books. I would love to personalize a book to you. So friends, till we meet again next time, I hope that you'll get some stories to tell about the untold gifts of a little or even a really big cutting garden. Ciao.